Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth devil has set them free.
Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Putin hits a nuclear plant in Ukraine. Will that finally get the attention off Maxwell's trial so they can, you know, finagle a mistrial without the public glare and prying eyes? Will that finally break the fixation so many have on Durham's revelations and the advances being made to correct the 2020 election steal and to dig into those Dominion machines? What is it going to take? Will we finally ever get the American people to look away long enough for all the deep state cockroaches to run and hide and get prepared for what's coming, you know? Yeah, right? Hey, let's use the cover of that war to sneak out revelations that finally prove once for all Fauci's and Collins and their scientist cohorts conspired to hide their conviction that this virus was manipulated in a lab and very likely got into the general community by a lab leak from Wuhan. Yeah, okay, so an update on the Ukraine debacle. New insights that might be helpful in sorting all of this out, I hope. And, well, let's take a look at Gates' pitiful wrap-up of the Wuhan bioweapon scam. I mentioned it to you earlier, but I found a clip allowing me to see the entire statement. And I'm referring to his admission that the Omicron variant is actually acting like a vaccine. All right, folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
One thing to look out for and to watch and pray about right now is acts of utter desperation coming from Putin or from the deep state operators trying to protect their human trafficking operations here and in Ukraine and elsewhere. I hear a lot of rumbling about Ukraine and Russia being immorally equivalent. It's odd to me how people judge situations like this. Putin invaded another country unprovoked. He did it back in 2014 while Obama watched, or was that 2015? While Obama watched from his golf cart and sent blankets to the Crimeans as a token of his great deep compassion. Because Obama cares. And he's doing it now. That is, Putin's doing it now. While Biden bungles about doing really nothing. Truly, all of the stuff that Biden's doing is meaningless. Putin's getting bankrolled from China. He's got all kinds of alternatives to dealing with his funding. The only thing that would do anything is to cut off his oil. It's the deed, my friend, that is the issue, right? In other words, whether or not you think Ukraine is so evil, we should not care what happens to them. That isn't the issue here. And whether or not you think Russia is so evil, we should not care what happens there. Well, that's not the issue either. That's a separate question from this one. And I'll address it at the end of my time with you today. Shouldn't we care about the simple fact that a political leader deployed his army to attack another country, which is resulting in totally innocent men, women, and children being killed, maimed, or otherwise destroyed? What we should do about it is yet another question. But surely we can all agree that Putin has no business sending troops across the border or his border with another country and then bombing them and killing them when that country did nothing to provoke him. You know, it's strange how hypocritical almost everyone becomes when in a conflict like this one. For example, Putin, he's explaining why he called his nuclear arsenal to high alert status. And he explains he will not deploy his nuclear weapons until after he has verified that Russia is under attack. Doesn't tell us what attack he's expecting. Anyway, he said, because Russia does not believe in a preventative attack. Oh, really? Now, I think we all understand Putin wants to reestablish, revive the old Soviet Empire, and that his premise for attacking Ukraine is most likely because Zelenko might lead Ukraine to join NATO, which would be a violation of the treaty Ukraine agreed to back in, I can't remember now exactly, 1996, I think. You do understand what started this war in Ukraine, don't you? Yeah, Biden and Harris, they started it. Our idiot for a vice president was sent to Europe ostensibly to calm things down. Why would you send her? And in a presser, Harris expressed how pleased she was that Zelenko had expressed an interest in joining NATO. Biden's administration had been pushing for Ukraine to join NATO. It makes you scratch your head. Do these people not know that there is a treaty agreement that was made that Ukraine wouldn't do that? Putin has already been complaining about how he's becoming increasingly surrounded by NATO countries. He even threatened Sweden and Finland of serious consequences if they went into NATO. So how do you suppose Putin responded when our brain-dead Vice President Kamila made such an incendiary statement, such an obvious political faux pas? You did notice that soon afterwards, Putin sent his tanks across his border with Ukraine. Well, maybe that was a pretext to move. Okay, I understand that. Maybe what Putin told us was his motives for moving into Ukraine, right? He wants to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, really. First of all, Putin has a whole lot more in common with Hitler than anyone in Zelensky's government might have. And second, while there is a representation of neo-Nazis in Ukraine, they show up here too, friend, and even in our Congress. And over there, like here, they don't make up the entire country or characterize the entire country, nor do they enjoy a wide popularity among the people. Same thing here. It's as easy for Putin to call the Ukrainian government, you know, overrun and controlled by Nazis as it would be for Biden and Harris to call the January 6th patriots terrorists. I'm just saying. The idea that Ukraine is run by Nazis, well, it just isn't true. There are Nazis in their government. There are Nazis right here in ours, as I pointed out. There's corruption in Russia and in the Ukraine, and by the way, in the good old USA. It's true, I think, that Ukraine has been used by the sex trafficking elites to facilitate their operations. And many of those sex trafficking elites using Ukraine for their operations are headquartered right here in the US of A. There's a lot going on with that border crossing nonsense that you don't know about, I'm told. Here in America, I'm told that Epstein and Maxwell got most of their girls to exploit from Ukraine, and that they did this under the color of law, or under the protections of key government officials who were paid off to look the other way. Does anyone think this kind of thing isn't happening here? Just pay attention to what's going on with our borders. Does anyone think the mothers and fathers, the children, the sons, the daughters, the grandmothers, you get it, that are simply living their lives in Ukraine or here, do they deserve to be ravaged in this way? So this political leader uses another political leader, and it's always the people that end up getting abused. Biden uses Putin to create a diversion from his own failures just in time to give him something else to talk about other than his own failures at his State of the Union address. One friend called it the State of Ukraine address. I thought that was clever. Thank you. So Biden uses Putin, and Putin uses Biden to get what he wants in the Ukraine. Meanwhile, it's the people who end up getting abused. My concern is with the people of the Ukraine and the flag-draped coffins of young soldiers sent to die for Biden's cover story and for Putin's covetousness. But I understand from Zelensky that Putin has provided to make sure that doesn't happen. He's burning the bodies of the soldiers that die under his command, if you will, in crematoriums he's provided for the purpose. Man, if that's not propaganda, it sure is sick. And by the way, it's sad, but true, everyone who knows anything about Putin finds it totally believable. Biden is moved by the imagery of our sons coming home in flag-draped coffins. Did you see how moved he was at that imagery? Made him think of his own son, who died of cancer. A cancer he claims Bo got from exposure to burn pits in Iraq. No proof of that, of course, but Biden demonstrated real humanity. Oh, he was so touched when thinking about our soldiers being exposed to the burn pits and recalling the tragic death of his own son from brain cancer and Colorado, Representative Lauren Boebert, or Boebert, however you say her name, shouts out a reminder that Biden put 13 of our finest in flag-draped coffins delivered to their loved ones from his botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. It is interesting. People do react, of course, differently to this sort of thing. Biden, well, he thought only of his own son. That's all he could think of. He didn't mention the sons of the 13 families who lost their sons and daughters in action in Afghanistan, whose deaths are directly attributable to Biden's botched withdrawal, his non-plan, or you might say his planned surrender to the Taliban, a payment to Obama for services rendered, I don't know, finish the job there. Biden's response, a near tearful remembering of his son, Beau, which is a tragedy, a sad thing for that family. Boebert's response, a pained remembering of the 13 soldiers betrayed by their country, or at least by the leader of the country, the betrayal of their country by their feckless commander. But Pelosi's response now, that was just downright bizarre. You saw it, I'm sure. Some are calling it the Pelosi polka. Here's an article from One America News where it's called Pelosi's Toxic Burn Fire Pit Dance. It did look weird. It would have been hilarious, really. Especially later when she nearly did a face plant. The lady was drunk as usual. Here she is rubbing her wicked fisted hands together with a wicked grin and leer in her eyes. These people are possessed by devils, I'm sure of it. Who does a dance at the thought of soldiers being stricken with cancer from toxic burn pits in Afghanistan? Who acts like that? Devils do. Okay, I need to wrap up the first segment. Putin took out a nuclear power plant in Ukraine that provides something like, I think I heard it supplies about 5% of the country's power. Russians attacked the plant, and the Ukrainians put up some firm resistance, but Russian forces resorted to shelling the plant, and one explosive caused a fire that was quickly put out. I read one article that suggested the Ukrainians surrendered the plant to Russian control because of concern about the danger of the Russians being willing to bomb it. Some say Putin was trying to repeat Chernobyl. Anyway, I spoke this morning with a friend whose expertise is working in the nuclear power plants. He explained that unless the material had been brought to a critical stage, there would be no real concern about radioactive particles spreading out over the sky and all that kind of thing. Thank you, Zach, for that. Anyway, the fire was quickly extinguished, and the Russians now hold the plant, and we are all assured no mushroom cloud is imminent. No repeat of Chernobyl is forthcoming. Almost all the attention of Putin's army and air force is on the southern Ukraine border with Crimea. The 47-mile convoy of Russian tanks and personnel transports and missile launchers and, well, military supplies, except food and fuel. That's what I'm hearing. 47 miles of trucks and tanks without food or fuel. I heard Mongino explain what a boneheaded logistical nightmare this creates for Putin's army. And he detailed it. It's quite interesting. He worked in that area. And more than one military tactician has pointed out how vulnerable this convoy is. And everyone is asking the question, why can't Putin's generals get fuel to move this convoy? Well, it's been now 3 or 4 days that these trucks and tanks have been sitting there on the road. What an easy target. Well, maybe they're not stranded after all, right? Putin is simply perhaps building up that convoy as a visible threat to Kyiv. And meanwhile, he's gobbling up as much territory as he can across the border of Crimea into southern Ukraine, pressing hard, even hitting nuclear power plants, very scary, rattling his nuclear arsenal like a growling mad dog showing its teeth at the Western powers to keep them at bay. All this while entering into negotiations with Ukraine. I don't know, maybe the convoy is a bargaining chip. Maybe now that Putin knows the Ukrainians don't love him like he thought and they're not as cowardly as he expected, yeah, maybe he took such a sting upon his nose by a swarm of central Russian bees. A very aggressive bee and fierce. So perhaps he has altered his strategy and decided, you know, just maneuver for a good, strong negotiating position. And then maybe the bear will go home with a promise from Ukraine and a swollen nose. Perhaps Ukraine will be required to promise, okay, we won't join NATO. Or they'll be forced, or together with that, to cede formally the Crimea to Russia. That really hasn't been done yet, you see. It's being occupied or held to surrender new territory acquired by Russian troops near the Crimea-Ukraine border. I don't know. It would seem to me if Putin really intended to take Kiev, well, he would have got the fuel and food to his troops in that convoy and moved on in to that great city. On the other hand, never forget, there is, after all, a God in heaven. And this isn't over yet. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America, too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, 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 it looks like the COVID smoke screen's blowing away in the wind. I remember praying very specifically, you know, wait a minute, let me back up. I heard some MSM talking heads scoff at the notion that God would help us through this COVID thing. In fact, New York's Cuomo governor at the time scoffed, God isn't going to save us, or he said something about God didn't do that. You know what happened to him, right? A few others made similar statements that bordered on blasphemy, really. I remember seeing the evidence that convinced me this virus was manipulated in a lab with the purpose of making it highly contagious to humans, and that was way early on and reported to you on all of that. By the way, those brave scientists who risked so much to get that information out to us have been fully vindicated. Have you been following what's been coming out about the Wuhan lab gain-of-function experimentation that created the Wuhan bioweapon causing the disease we call COVID-19? I know, you have to look hard through the Butin-Pyden smoke screen to see anything other than Ukraine these days. So let me help you out. The unredacted emails between Fauci and his cohorts have been forced out into public view. And it shows that these guys conspired to, engage in some cover-up, the cover-up crime of the century. But check this out from the New York Post. Emails reveal scientists suspected COVID leaked from Wuhan lab, then quickly censored themselves. Quote, now a string of unearthed emails, the most recent being a batch viewed by the House Oversight and Reform Committee and referred to in its January 11 letter, is making it seem increasingly likely that there was, in fact, a conspiracy, its aim being to suppress the notion that the virus had emerged from research funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, headed by, drum roll please, Anthony Fauci. Now you might be encouraged to dismiss the statement because of language like making it seem increasingly likely, but don't. When you find out what makes it increasingly likely, you'll shake your head in disgust at these wicked friends of Fauci. The scientists were convinced the virus was manipulated in a lab. Yeah, they all knew what was going on in the Wuhan lab, so they were concerned. And they knew Fauci had seen to it that the Wuhan lab received funding from U.S. taxpayers. And they knew that that work was to experiment with bat viruses. They recognized that the virus they were looking at that was causing COVID had features that are impossible to believe developed in nature. They said so to each other in emails. Then it was decided and agreed to by all these guys that this must never be told to the public. They agreed to purposely deceive the American people, to convince the American people that this was something that developed in nature and likely came from a wet market. You remember how faithfully and how hard Fauci pressed that line. These establishment medical professionals conspired together to keep from the American people the truth about this virus. And not only that, but the principal conspirators, namely Fauci, Collins, Zizek, in concert with Gates and their friends at Pfizer, also conspired together to discourage the use of early treatment protocols that many doctors were finding helpful of the disease caused by the Fauci-facilitated gain-of-function experimental virus created and then leaked from the Wuhan lab that caused COVID-19. And the only explanation for that is they wanted as many people as possible to get sick with this thing. And that would help them sell vaccines. And there's probably other issues we won't go into right now. It turns out these vaccines are hurting thousands of people all over the country and around the world. Just check out the VAERS reports provided by the CDC and use only the numbers they have approved for public access. It will appall you when you understand that such numbers only a decade ago would have caused, well, every doctor with a conscience, every responsible medical professional to become deeply concerned and call for an immediate halt to this human experiment. Anyway, when this information first came to me, how they faked the Lancet study to discourage people from having access to medicine that would have saved thousands of lives, when I saw these devils like Gruesome Newsom and Crooked Cuomo sending elderly nursing care patients to their deaths without proper treatment, when I saw these evil hospitals turning people away and telling them, come back when you're showing symptoms, offering them no treatment whatsoever, I remember very specifically praying God would intervene in such a way that would undermine the efforts on the part of these monsters to commit wholesale murder. I'll have to summarize my take on Joe Rogan's interview with Dr. Robert Malone. He's the fellow responsible for developing the mRNA technology that's being used in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. I mean, his credentials are long, deep, and impeccable. All right, here's my takeaway from the interview and this article I found in the Epoch Times. Dr. Malone tells us government actions regarding COVID have probably cost 500,000 excess deaths, obstructing access to remedies proven to be effective like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. That comes to mind. And then the most forceful proof of this is that fake Lancet study that was used to impugn the use of HCQ in the treatment of COVID. It all turned out to be fake. Second, government mandates are explicitly illegal. A clear contradiction of our constitutionally protected rights, our inalienable human rights, contrary to the Nuremberg protocols. People are being denied their natural right to consent. And then adding insult to this injury, they're not even being given adequate information to make an informed decision. Natural immunity is more robust than vaccine-induced immunity. And not only that, but people who have natural immunity have an enhanced risk of adverse events coming from the jab. And then fourth, there are jab risks that are being actively hidden from the public. Dr. Malone mentioned the more than acceptable risk of heart problems associated with the jab, like myocarditis, or even Pfizer's admitting that myocarditis is an issue related to their jab. He expressed concern about the greater than acceptable risk of fertility problems. This well-learned expert with decades of experience is expressing these and other concerns. He's concerned about the spike protein causing blood clots and that cause disruption of the blood-brain barrier. Malone points out what I've observed. The fact-checkers do not investigate the truthfulness or even accuracy of stipulated facts, but whether or not the stipulations line up with what they consider to be approved sources, such as Fauci or WHO or CDC, and that's how they're getting away with this. He also points out the conflict of interest problems among so-called fact-checkers. Example, fact-checker Thomson Reuters has ties to Pfizer, and there's so much more of that nonsense. Sixth, Malone points out that the efficacy of the jab is questionable. This guy's an expert with credentials that surpass Fauci, and he warns us we're administering a, quote, mismatched vaccine, end quote, and thus driving the B and T memory cells toward a virus that is no longer in circulation. That's a waste. All of this vindicated my concerns, but when I prayed God would intervene, you know, and show his hand, asked God to generate a mutation of this virus that would stop the disease. Imagine that. And imagine what I felt when I heard this from none other than Billy Gates. He was asked for an update on the COVID issue and for projections about what's coming. And his answer blew my mind. Quote, well, sadly, the virus itself, particularly the variant called Omicron, is a type of vaccine as it creates both B-cell and T-cell immunity, and it's done a better job of getting it out to the world population, end quote. Now, wait a minute. How can you be sad about that? And listen, if you watch this video, and I've got it linked here, he doesn't sound happy. He doesn't look happy. His facial and body language, he looks depressed. He's unhappy. He's not glad about this amazing news. Why wouldn't he be glad to report that this Omicron showed up and wiped out COVID? Later, he said, quote, "So you know what that does, it means the chance of severe disease, which is mainly associated with, you know, being elderly and having obesity or diabetes, those risks are now dramatically reduced because of that infection exposure," end quote. How can you be sad about that? He goes on to say, "It's sad. We didn't do a great," and now he chuckles. He didn't chuckle at the first sad, but at this point, when he says, "It's sad," he gives a little chuckle. And he goes on to say, "It's sad that we didn't do a great job on therapeutics, you know." Yeah, yuck it up, fella. How many people died because of this? His own version of the Pelosi toxic burn dance? Except he's so depressed. You know, these days we see him all slumped down in the chair, all morose. The only thing that encourages him a little is when you watch him tell us about a new pandemic coming, friend. That'll be of a different pathogen, he said. "I felt like Rhoda standing at the door listening to Peter knock and so stunned that she didn't open the door, and I just stood there hardly believing what I was hearing. Now, I need to finish. I have also prayed for some other things that happen in our country to deliver us from this evil that we're under at present. And it seems the strongholds that we're standing up against, and I'm sure not the only one praying, our whole church is, I'm sure you are, but these strongholds that we're standing up against, you know, Jesus told us there are different kinds of devils, different levels of devils, you might say, and some require far more spiritual force than others. Some require prayer and fasting to overcome. I got a whole set of messages I preach under the title, When Prayer Is Not Enough. Let me conclude with some insight into how God deals with conflicts between nations. There is a strange biblical principle that many miss. They don't think about it. God will sometimes use a people to bring judgment upon another, not because the people he's using to bring the judgment are so righteous or so good, but rather because the people that are being judged are so evil and so bad. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 9:4. Speak now, he's telling, talking to Israel. "Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess the land. No. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness," he goes on to say, "or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word," and so on. You see what this is telling you? I mean, there are two important insights here for our present distress. First, a nation does not have to be perfect or sinless or even particularly righteous in order for God to preserve it. And it's God's remnant in a land that actually holds title to it. I don't have time to explain that, but it's true. And God's people in it must repent toward God and call on the name of Jesus Christ. And the nation overall must be at least better than the nation that has risen against it. Pray for American revival, man, and start by returning to the house of God this weekend. I've lit the lamps, the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. Find the contact button, send me an email, or leave me a message on our lights on hotline or listener response hotline at 805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
God's people face a critical battle for America. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses, because freedom loses. Go to GodsWar2020.com.